Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, and this is episode 219, our second to last episode of 2022. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Mary. Christmas is approaching, and it is...
Less than three weeks away.
It is pitch black at 4 p.m. now. We're getting to like the last day. That has to be coming up soon.
It's on the 21st, so we still have about... two-ish weeks.
Okay. Well, yeah. Anyways, I recently got an invitation to do a white elephant thing for work.
No, I mean, you didn't recently get it. You just forgot about it till
well,
today.
Okay. So this is what happened. So about a week and a half ago, there was an email that was sent out, do a white elephant thing, right? For some reason, this was really not, you know, related to my actual work. So I was like, meh, I'll just, you know, put this out of my mind. Then a reminder email, everyone, tomorrow's a white elephant, figure out what you're doing. So I'm like, oh shoot, what do I do? So I just went to Target and I didn't realize this, but you're actually supposed to buy bad gifts.
Well, it just depends. I mean, did it say most of the time white elephant infers that you buy something bad, like a gag gift?
Well, it was like wear an ugly sweater and buy something between like $15 or $20 or something like
that. I'm just saying white elephant gift exchange typically means a gag gift, and otherwise it's called usually like a gift exchange type thing. But I mean, it depends.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what? Whoever gets your gift, they're lucky. They got a good gift.
Yeah. It was the first time I ever bought a candle. I was just like panicking. What's the scent? What do I get? I don't know. It was Christmassy. It was like Christmas.
You're like, scent. Let me just grab this candle and some chocolate.
Yeah, that
looks, and leave.
There was a lot of candles and like there's like a Target across the block from us or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of candles. I must have sniffed at least 10 of them. 10 different smells.
But you don't know which one you ended up with.
Well, I ended up getting a red one that said Christmas scent, and it smelled
like Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know what it smells
like. March into Target, you're like, let me just grab the first candle I see and the first chocolate and walk out.
Yeah, exactly. It was in and out Target less than 5 minutes, like candle, chocolate,
wow,
good to go. Oh, I also got like a little mini bag because I don't feel like wrapping it.
I mean, that's fine.
So yes,
you too embarrassed for your coworkers to see your wrapping?
Yeah, my wrapping is really bad. Like, you tell me this all the time. Like, I overuse wrapping paper.
All the time, just for like my birthday and Christmas, like the two times of the year you give me a present.
Whenever you get a present.
I mean, for my birthday this year, My birthday this year, you wrapped my present in a Din Tai Fung bag from leftover food that we had.
Yeah, I mean, that I really saved myself the critique of my wrapping on that one.
Yeah, maybe you should just wrap it.
And I saved a lot of scotch tape too, quite frankly.
That's true.
So maybe I should just stick with the bag as the gift carrier. But yeah, that's basically what my week's been up to. How about you, Mary?
I still have COVID. This is day 8. I got it tested positive a week ago today. So I started testing every day starting on Saturday, which was day 5, and I'm feeling a lot better. You might be able to still tell in my voice that there's a little tickle in my throat. Still.
A tickle.
Yeah. Just a little bit of gunk still in my throat, but otherwise I feel completely fine. So I haven't been doing literally anything. I worked on making some Christmas presents that I'm working on. I wrapped some Christmas presents. Also, I was on Zillow on Friday night, and I happened to find that my parents' first house that's kind of nearby where I live, it got knocked down last year and no one knew. And so I went up there by myself on Saturday morning and took a video saying, your first house is gone. It's going to be 5 townhomes now. Wow. So yeah, that was the excitement of the weekend. Not too much else.
You know, in solidarity with you, Mary, I also didn't go out and do much.
Well, that
wasn't
my choice.
You know, you could do much, but, you know, I chose to, you know, not go out and do much.
Well, you could have asked someone to hang out.
I know.
Or you could have, you know, you could have.
I'm just letting you know, this is a personal choice. I was just like, you know what? Mary's going to have a stay at home week. I will too. And you know what? It was pretty fun, I have to say.
Okay, well, I have to say also, You're welcome, because last week you got to work from home because of me, because you had a COVID exposure. So
yes, yes. There's always a silver lining.
Yeah, you were thrilled.
Yeah,
I'm like, thrilled that I had COVID.
Mary, so you got to work from home. No, that's terrible. But I was.
I'll get it again for March Madness, so you can work from home again.
Ooh, yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, some of those games are like during the day too. So those are just terrible timing.
Perfect time to get COVID. Just kidding.
Yeah, a perfect time to work from home. We'll say that.
Yeah, yeah.
One more thing happened this week, and the United States unfortunately got eliminated from the World Cup. They just got out of the group stage and everyone was feeling good about themselves. United States had never losing at all at every moment during the World Cup up until that game. And basically they ran into a better team. We got scored on like once in the 10th minute, and then right before the end of the first half we got like scored on in like the 45th minute. So then it's 2-0 going into the second half. We got a goal back. 2-1. And we're like, okay, there's hope. If only we can, tie the game, then we can, maybe win an extra time. But as soon as we scored, then they scored back on us. So it was 3-1 and all hope was lost. So
it's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. United States is out. And we will have to wait.
I slept through the whole thing.
It was in the morning. It was like
it was at 7 a.m. I didn't set any alarms because I was like, it's the weekend. But normally, typically, I still wake up around 8, maybe 8:30. I know the game started at 7, right?
Yes.
But I was not ever going to wake up at that time. But I woke up at like 9:50. Like, I've been sleeping so much, partially because I was sick most of last week, but also because I had nothing else to do. So me, myself, and I, last night, I went, got into bed at 8 p.m., asleep by 10 p.m. because I was like, the sun had been down for four hours by the time I got in bed. I was like, I'm tired. I have nothing else to do.
Yeah, I know. Like, I started yawning like at like 6 o'clock.
Right now it's 6:01 right now.
Yeah, I literally just yawned.
Oh, okay.
But like, I feel tired. Yeah. Like at 6 o'clock anyways.
But yeah,
like,
before so I've been I even sleeping have dinner. A ton, and then I accidentally slept through the entire game. So I woke up, I was like, oh, wow, I just woke up. And then I looked at the score. And that was Saturday morning. So I was like, I'm going to take a COVID test. Texted you. I'm going to take a COVID test right now. And then I went and checked the score. Oh, shoot. Sorry. The U.S. lost. And then I got a positive COVID test. So I was like, well, here we go.
Double bad news.
I know. Remember last week on the podcast, I was like, maybe on Saturday morning, we'll be celebrating that I'm negative COVID and the U.S. won. But neither of those things happened.
Oh, Mary, you jinxed it. I'm blaming you.
Yeah.
No, United States, they're a very young team, and there's a little bit of hope because next
is there ever an old team? Like, they're always young.
Well, no, actually,
is the average age lower than normal or something?
Well, I think their average age is like under 24.
Okay, that's US. Pretty young.
That is pretty young. But just speaking World Cup related storylines, what are the teams that was projected to go to the finals? Belgium. They actually got eliminated from the group stage. And so United States went further. And the main problem with their team is they kept too many of their older stars that already had notoriety and like celebrity throughout the soccer world, but they were no longer, like fast or, as strong as the younger players. I know I think their average age was like near the 30s or something. And, that's not like ancient or anything.
No.
But I guess there is a difference when you're running for 90 minutes straight and it's in the heat. So
That's true.
So it affected them and they lost. But like I said, in 4 years, the World Cup is coming. It's coming home to North America. So
start saving your money now.
Game, I think, Mexico, United States, and Canada. And then also Seattle, one of the cities, will be hosting some of the games. So, yes, I will be saving some money. And if it's not outrageous, I probably will be going to a game. That's, once in a lifetime.
So you might as well just go. Hopefully it's not too, it's probably going to be the same cost as like a Taylor Swift ticket at this point. I read online that some girl bought a Taylor Swift ticket resold ticket for $5,500. And now she regrets it because that's a big waste of money after like a 2 hour concert, 3 hour concert. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money. Maybe I should have bought some of them up and sold them.
Well, they were almost already impossible to buy. So, I mean, that'd be pretty difficult.
Yeah. And plus, I feel like it'd be pretty mean to just buy stuff if you're not, if you actually don't want it. And then
I mean, tell that to all the people who are reselling tickets.
I think they're awful people. Anyways, that is just my two cents. And that's what I've been up to this week.
Okay. So first off, we're going to start off with the history behind some Christmas traditions. This got me thinking, you know, there's lots of random traditions we do around this time of year. How did they get started? So I'll start with the first one. Christmas trees. Decorated Christmas trees date back to Germany in the Middle Ages, with German and other European settlers popularizing Christmas trees in America by the early 19th century. A New York woodsman named Mark Carr is credited with opening the first U.S. Christmas tree lot in 1851. In a 2019 survey by the American Christmas Tree Association, again, never know about these associations till we do the podcast, they predicted that 77% of U.S. households displayed a Christmas tree in their home. And among the trees on display, 81% were artificial and 19% were real, which is, I thought it was a little bit more half and half, but I guess that's good.
Yeah, that's a an interesting breakdown. 19% of the real ones. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a lot easier to have fake ones and like smaller ones, and depending on where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So up next is the Christmas pickle. I've never heard of this until like you recently introduced it to me. So if there's a pickle amongst your snowman, angel, or reindeer ornaments, you're likely taking a part in the American tradition of hiding a green ornament on the tree. So the first child to find it wins a gift or gets to open, you know, the first Christmas present in the morning. The practice origins are a bit murky, or should that be briny? But it likely grew from a Woolworth's marketing gimmick in the late 1800s, where the retailer received imported German ornaments shaped like a pickle and they needed a sales pitch.
Well, that's just classic. Just a beloved tradition just came out of
some random marketing
campaign.
Yeah.
I mean,
you have a pickle on your tree, don't you?
I have, I think, two pickles, maybe three.
Oh, wow.
We don't do the tradition of finding the pickle, but the pickle ornaments are just my ornaments because I love pickles.
Okay. Okay. This is completely separate. You would have put a pickle on without this tradition.
Oh yeah. I think I put the pickle on before I even knew this was a thing.
There you go.
Now, this is a more recent tradition. Never partaken in this one before, but I've seen a lot of, you know, parents working on this year. It's Elf on the Shelf. Love it or loathe it. Since 2005, moms and dads have either joyously or begrudgingly been hiding a toy elf each night from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Wow, that's even longer than I thought. I thought it was just from December 1st till Christmas. More than 13 million elves have been adopted since 2005, when Carol Abersold and her daughter Chandra Bell published the book Elf on the Shelf, A Christmas Tradition That Comes with the Toy. Social media has even inspired some parents to set up elaborate scenarios for their elves, as in he teepeed the tree or filled the sink with marshmallows. I did see some parents, so each night apparently they're supposed to hide the elf around the house. And I think, I've never read the book, but I think you're not supposed to touch the elf. The kids are not supposed to touch the elf, and the elf is watching them to make sure they're being good, is what I understand. I did see one parent on social media put their kid's elf in like a container because they just said they had COVID, so they didn't have to move them every single night. Right. And then I saw another like video on Instagram of this dad had a container with the elf in it, and he took it to his son or daughter's band concert so the elf could watch the band concert. Seems like so much work to have to come up with all these scenarios. Some people have like little poems that the elf writes to the kids. It's a lot, but it became a tradition because a book was written called Elf on the Shelf, A Christmas Tradition. Before that, it was not a tradition, and now 13 million elves have been sold.
I didn't even know that was their tradition. Like, I always knew, I always heard of you know, Elf on the Shelf, but I thought it was just like an elf on a shelf. There was just like a random thing, because then I saw like a bunch of like memes came out of it, like where they're just rhyming you know, like some object on something else that, you know, rhymed with it.
Right.
But yeah, the more you know. Okay. Up next, we have the gingerbread houses. I love gingerbread houses. Although Queen Elizabeth I gets credit for the early decorating of gingerbread cookies, once again, it's the Germans who laid claim to starting the gingerbread house tradition, where the German brothers Grimm, who wrote Hansel and Gretel, a new holiday was born. Today, the edible
new holiday tradition, not a new holiday.
New holiday tradition, I should say. Yes, yeah. Not a new holiday. It could be a holiday. The tradition is such a fun thing. You and I do that. Today, the edible decorations are available in a slew of prepackaged kits. Yes, every year we try to make a gingerbread house. And
well, we do, because in 2020, you weren't able to go home for Christmas because of COVID. So I was like, let's bring back one of your family traditions, or it's a tradition you always did. You said gingerbread houses. So we go out to Target, we buy the gingerbread houses, and then you're like, I haven't done this since middle school. I'm like, I was under the impression that this was a like family tradition that you did. Maybe not every single year, but most years. But yeah, ever since then, we've been doing it. We'll have to do it once I'm negative for COVID.
Yes.
Yeah. I always put up a poll on my Instagram to see if my followers think mine or Brian's is better. You don't know whose is whose, but sorry, but you could just probably guess whose is whose.
Ugh, that's just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the artistic gene, unfortunately, so...
But you have the engineering brain. You should be able to put together a house, but you...
Yeah, I can't even put the house together. The roof doesn't even go on properly half the time. It falls apart. So
2 years ago, we're building just the basic gingerbread house. And I look over and Brian has a piece of the roof sideways as side of the wall. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm like, why is this house looking lopsided?
Then last year, for some reason, Brian decided to get the kit that had four mini gingerbread houses. And why would you make it more difficult on yourself to have to build four houses instead of one? I don't know. And then I don't know.
It's probably the most stressful event in all of December.
And then I did like a row house, like the Painted Ladies in San Francisco, those houses. Mm-hmm. And so mine actually turned out to be easier to build because, you know, just three houses all built right next to each other. While Brian's trying to hold up four structures.
Yeah, it was a mess. Things kept on falling down. I'm like, I need more frosting to glue everything together. And it was just, you know, hopefully this year will be better. We'll put it that way.
Okay. Next up, we have candy canes. Whether they're devoured as a treat or hung on the tree as a decoration, candy canes are the number one selling non-chocolate candy during December and date back to 1670. And again, Germany. The red and white peppermint sticks arrived stateside in 1847 when a German Swedish immigrant in Wooster, Ohio, placed them on a tree. And then by the 1950s, an automated candy cane making machine was invented, which cemented their mass appeal.
Yes, bless the automated machines that make candy en masse.
Yep.
All right. And then lastly, we have Christmas lights. So Thomas Edison may be famous for the light bulb, but it was his partner and friend Edward Hibbert Johnson who had the bright idea of stringing bulbs around the Christmas tree in New York in 1882. And then by 1914, the lights were being mass produced, and now some 150 million sets of lights are sold each year in the US.
Wow.
So yes, I have my Christmas tree like right next to me as we speak. It's in a box. Under my bed. I'll have to, it is the time of the year it's appropriate to have the Christmas tree out and have the lights going. I believe, you know, we might be a couple weeks early, but
no, it's not early.
It's still December anytime past Halloween. Or Thanksgiving. Don't Thanksgiving. Anytime past Thanksgiving, you can bring out the tree. I think that's a good rule. So,
yeah. Have you been eating your advent calendar candy?
No, I haven't. I completely forgot. You reminded me. It's not January. It's December 1st. You can start now, and I still haven't started. I haven't started, so now I have to eat five pieces.
The only reason why I mentioned that to you is because I remember in college. you or your mom, you had two advent calendars.
Yes.
And they were all gone by like the middle of November. Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about?
I had two because like Halloween was over. It's like, this will carry you to Christmas. and it didn't carry me to Christmas. It carried
you to Thanksgiving.
A little bit past Thanksgiving.
Yeah. That's funny. So,
yes.
Upside is an app that partners with businesses to give you cash back on everyday purchases. After downloading the app, you'll see several nearby offers for gas stations and restaurants. Claim an offer, go to the gas station or restaurant, then upload your receipt to earn cash back to cash out to your bank account or pick a gift card. Go to sassstoriessarcasm.com/upside to get 15 cents per gallon cash back the first time you use Upside to get gas. All right, now for our second topic. Everyone knows the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, but how much do all those presents cost? The PNC Financial Services Group has an annual Christmas price index, and they've been putting this out since 1984, and it calculates the cost of all the gifts in the song based on the current market rates. And because of inflation this year, all of these gift giving is extra costly. The total for 2022 comes to a whopping, get ready, $45,523.27, which is up 10.5% from 2021. If you count,
that's each, a lot.
Well, because you count each mention of an item separately, which would amount to 364 gifts all in all. It's a 9.8% increase from last year, which, you know, inflation going crazy. So we're going to go item by item, and we are going to tell you how much each item would cost to buy and how much it has increased since last year. So first off is a partridge in a pear tree that will cost you $280.18. This is up 25.8% from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the price of the partridge, the actual bird, is unchanged, but due in part to higher fertilizer costs and the cost of the tree, it means that it's more expensive this year.
Okay. And then up next, we have the two turtle doves, and that will cost $600, a 33% increase. And this is mostly due to the rising cost of, like bird feed.
That's crazy. If bird feed has increased by 33% since last year. Yeah,
they're stealing from everyone.
Wow. Good thing you didn't take your coworker's bird when she asked you to adopt it.
I know. I'd be living on the streets.
That's crazy. Okay. Three French hens that will cost you $318.75, which is a 25% increase since last year, because, you know, feeding hungry hens is no small or cheap chore. Again, it's the increase of price because it will cost more to feed them.
Yes. And then we have four calling birds. Mm-hmm. And that is basically $600. It mm-hmm. came out to be more specific, $599.96. And apparently, you know, calling birds don't exist. So, but I don't know how you have a price, but there is a 0% inflation increase. So you're good.
That's good. Now, this is the highest increase of them all, the five gold rings that will cost you $1,245, which is an increase of 39.1%. Sharply rising commodity prices in the early part of 2022 have made for an expensive line item on the True Love's shopping list. The price of gold rings grew by about 40%, which, like I said, it's the highest increase in this year's index.
I wonder if that means it's a good time to sell all your jewelry. who knows. Up next, we have six geese a laying, and that will total out to $720, a 9.1% increase. These geese are laying down another large tab in 2022, demanding nearly a 10% more than 2021.
Yep. Next is seven swans a swimming. That will cost you $13,124.93. So hopefully if you like swans, hopefully you have a lot of money, because it costs a lot to buy swans apparently, but it is unchanged from last year. So no increase there.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have 8 maids a milkin. That's funny. That cost you $58, and I'm not exactly sure where they get this from, but
we're going with it.
Yeah. Well, we're going with it. Yeah, we're going with it.
Well, the reason why is because federal minimum wage has not increased since July 24th, 2009. So that's why there's no increase from last year for 8 maids milking, because minimum wage has not increased.
Yeah, I didn't know they were a minimum wage job, but apparently
apparently it is.
Apparently it is.
And now next up, 9 ladies dancing. That will cost you $8,308. You know, the 9 ladies dancing twirled out of the pandemic to the tune of a 10% raise. It will cost them 10% more than last year to have your 9 ladies dancing.
You know what I just realized? I did some quick math in my head. It costs more money to get a swan a swimming than a lady dancing.
Yeah. 7 swans swimming and 9 ladies dancing.
Yeah. Okay. And then up next, we have 10 lords a leaping. And that will bring your total up to 13.
This is not the total. This is the total
of those 10 lords. Okay. I should say, not the whole thing. So 10 lords, for 10 lords, it will cost you $13,980, a 24.2% increase.
This is the most expensive gift for some reason.
Yeah, I guess so.
Next up, we have the 11 pipers piping. That will cost you $3,021. Live music is tuned up again after the pandemic and has a 2.6% increase since last year.
Because that's of a the rising increase.
Yeah, rising compensation in 2022. It's the least they can do. Inflation's way more than 2.6%.
Yeah. Being a musician doesn't pay unless you make it big time. Mm-hmm. And then up next, we have the 12 drummers drumming. And that will cost you $3,266 and, of course, 93 cents. And that is a 2.6% increase from 2021. And a tight labor market drove those prices slightly up from last year.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So they, like we've said, they started doing this Christmas price index in 1984, and the cost of all the gifts then was $20,023. And now it is, you know, way more than that. $197,071.09 in total for all of the gifts as they are repeated throughout the entire song. And overall, that is a 9.8% increase from last year. In total, you will get 184 birds if you had this gift, with 364 total gifts. At the end of the 12 days, you'll have received 12 partridges in a pear tree, 22 turtle doves, 30 hens, French hens, 36 calling birds, 40 golden rings, 42 geese laying eggs, 42 swans, 40 milking maids, 36 ladies dancing ladies, 30 leaping lords, 22 pipers piping, and 12 drummers drumming.
Wow. That's just too much. That's just too much.
That's a lot. There's
nothing else to say. Yeah. It's a lot of bird feed to go around.
And apparently bird feed has increased by a lot since last year. Who knew? I didn't know.
Yeah. Who knew?
And, you know, lastly, Gonzaga just keeps on slipping down in the rankings, but it's okay. It's okay. Made me feel a lot better when I found out that UNC dropped completely out of the rankings. But right now, Gonzaga is number 18, and this is the lowest they've been since the 2017-2018 season. We've just been spoiled the last, like, 5-6 years with extremely good teams. But, you know, they haven't ranked this low since 2017-2018. We were in the championship game in the 2016-2017 season. So the season right after, they were number 18. So we're going to be fine.
Yeah, we'll be perfectly fine. It's still early in the year. You know, this ranking came off a loss to the Baylor Bears.
But actually, that game was so much closer than I was worried.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, we were at one point, like, early in the game, we were losing by like 10 points, and then only 5 minutes had gone by. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. It looked like another rematch, another matchup of when we played them in the championship game,
right,
where we kind of just got blown out. Mm-hmm. Or we got blown out early, and then we could never make up that lead. We just maintained that deficit the entire way, and we ended up losing. And once again, they came out strong, and we kind of fumbled it around a bit. But we struggled, and we caught all the way back up. And we actually, within like 4 minutes left in the second half, we were winning by like 6 points or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, if we just manage this properly, we can win. Newsflash, we did not manage it properly. We turned the ball over a couple of times, and we had some bad shots.
It was close. We lost by 1 point.
And we only lost by 1 point. So it was really unfortunate, because, you know, all losses are the same. But actually, in the eyes of the tournament committee, the type of the loss actually does matter. Like, they mm-hmm. factor that in. It's not just pure record. It's, you know, who you lose to and by how much, and if it's away or home. This was mm-hmm. for some random reason a neutral game for both the teams.
South Dakota, for some reason.
Yeah, we don't know why. I think it was for some charity event. But
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the only way to get good teams is to have a neutral, completely neutral game, I guess that's okay. That's okay. We just need these games in our schedule. So, you know, it's a game to learn from, and you know, March is a very long ways away, so we have a lot of learning to do. And
you know, a month from now, we'll be starting the WCC season, mm-hmm. and that will be hopefully smooth sailing. From
that will be the end of our losses.
Let's hope that's true.
Yes. So we might be, what is it, number 19th right now, or number 18th right now. 18. Yeah, we might be number 18 right now. If we can just hold on. And
we're playing Kent State.
Okay.
And they are the Golden Flashes, apparently. And I don't know where.
I'd love to see that.
Oh, shoot. It's tied right now at this moment. There's 11 minutes left in the first half.
Oh, but, boy.
You know, that's scary. That's even worse than boy. I thought.
Well, we have like a couple. We're not over with, you know, the difficult schedules just right. yet. Mm-hmm. We have this team we're playing. They're not ranked, but they have a good record right now. And then we eventually will have,
playing UW in a few weeks. We're playing
UW. We're playing
Alabama.
Alabama, yes. Mm-hmm. Alabama is a top 10 school right now, and they're on a hot streak. So if we can beat them, this will be at Alabama. That would look really good.
Well,
for
the thing
us.
Is, last year we went to the game at Battle in Seattle, and we were playing Alabama, and we lost. So let's, you know, let's hope that we win this year against them. We just need to have people step up.
Yes. Yeah. So right now we're playing Kent State, which they have a good record, but they're not ranked. So we should win this. Mm-hmm. We're playing Washington next in Spokane. Mm-hmm. So we should definitely win that. Northern Illinois, we should win. And then Alabama, I'd say it's like 50-50. Who knows what's going to happen there. But if we can get past Alabama, if we can win all the games, including Alabama, we should be able to, you know, have smooth sailing for the rest of the year, because the WCC is not as good as other leagues, and we can slowly make our way from 18th, you know, back down towards number one. I don't know if we'll get,
I don't know
one,
if we can get up to number one, but you but know, we
we'll,
can try.
Hopefully we'll trend in that direction as other teams lose more than us. We just have to not lose, and we'll by default go back up in the rankings. So, but you know, lots to learn from, and there's still plenty of time. So it's not the end of the world. We're hopefully Mark Few is just aware of our weaknesses, and
oh, I'm sure he's aware.
He has the personnel to fix it. He just has to implement it.
Yep. So, yes. Okay. With that, next week is our last episode of 2022 before we take a break till January. So listen for that, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.